Whale. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. Jones, Harris, and we're going to be talking about the assassination of an American president, and the truth about this has been covered up for a long period of time. Now, recently, there's a new book out with it going into the background of a series of tapes that were made by Jackie Kennedy shortly after her husband was murdered, and she'd actually given an interview, a taped interview to Arthur Schlesinger, with a proviso that the tapes would not be made public until 50 years after she would died. And but her daughter, Carolyn, has actually allowed the tapes to be released and recorded, and a new book is coming out here, which gives an entirely different approach to the viewing of who was responsible for the murder of an American president. The important thing is that it has been covered up. There's been an organized effort on the part of the media to confuse the American people and certainly high agencies and government intelligence agencies, a coordinated effort to conceal the truth about the murder of an American president. And this has been going on since 1963. Well, Mr. Harris has been actually analyzing this for a period of time, so I'm going to let him tell you what he has learned through his analysis. Jones, thanks very much for being with us this evening. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in this subject?
Sure. Dr. Stan, it really began because in the spring of 1963, I'd met a wonderful girl named Pamela Tenor, who was then Jacqueline Kennedy's press secretary, and I'd known Jacqueline Kennedy, and I'd met the Kennedys in Newport, and I had seen them in New York, and I had even seen them sometimes in Washington. But from spring of 63, around the summer into the fall, I was seeing Pamela Tenor. And of course, I was with her on the weekend. We stayed at the guest property in Virginia just before she took off for the trip to Texas. And she called me up late Thursday night, the 21st, because everything had been going so well. And of course, we'd all heard fears about what might happen in Texas, especially in Dallas. But she woke me up in New York, and one could hear the clinking of glasses, and she was with friends, and she was ecstatic. And I was sleepy, but not too sleepy to say, but isn't Dallas tomorrow? Wasn't that always the thing that they were most worried about? Because, you know, something had happened to Lyndon Johnson there, something had happened to Adlai Stevenson there, and there were many ugly incidents. And so Dallas was, I guess, what the Germans would call the Schwerpunkt. It was the perhaps problem, but now it looked, because Texas had been so uniformly gracious and full of cheers for the family and everything, that the hope was that everything was going to be all right. So I went back to sleep, and then I was awakened by a friend, Detective Charles Kelly, and he said, turn on your set. I was sleeping late, and he said, they just shot the president. And I said, didn't sound like Charlie Kelly to me. And I said, that's not funny, Charlie, and I hung up the phone. And the phone rang again. And he said, turn on your set. They just shot Kennedy. So I turned on the set and went through the weekend with some friends who had known the president. And then the following weekend, I went down, as I had been for many weekends previous.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Sure. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Harris.
So, we met at her little townhouse in Georgetown.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Dispensary, the Jones then set out to determine what had really happened. He went down, he spent almost a year down in Texas or any other place he could find people who had been there that day, who knew what was going on, who had witnessed, whether it would be the shooting of Officer Tibbetts or what happened in the theater when the Harvey Oswald was apprehended. And he talked to the people who were there close to the grassy knoll and on the train that was close by there. And so basically he spent almost a year trying to get information together. And the one thing he became aware of course, is that shots were fired from the grassy knoll. Now, of course, the Warren Commission denied that. It was a solitary shooter. Of course, Congressman Hale Boggs, who was on the Warren Commission, didn't believe that at all. And, of course, when his plane went down, the FBI knew where the plane was, and they left him there to die. Nobody who really had anything important to say would be allowed to say it, and there were an awful lot of people who were affiliated with what investigation, probably with the events that took place that day, who died under very mysterious circumstances. Harris, you go ahead and pick the story up from there.
Well, Doctor, actually, among the things I did was to interview a number of members of the Warren Commission. I think even your informed audience may not realize that the first attack on the Warren Commission did not come from rather scurrilous people like Mark Lane. It came from Senator Dick Russell, who was generally considered the smartest, wisest. He was certainly the most important man in the Senate. And at the end of the summer, he flatly refused, along with the senator from Kentucky. They refused to sign the document, and Lyndon went through 40 ruses on the thing, and this thing had to be, and so forth. But Russell said the only way he would sign it is if in the prologue the words were added, "on the basis of the documents that we were shown." And when I interviewed him, he told me what he told any number of people who interviewed him on this thing. He was utterly convinced that it was a conspiracy. He didn't want to be on the commission. He had a great deal of contempt for Earl Warren. He didn't want to. He was absolutely, virtually ordered by the president to go on. And John McCloy told me in deep retirement, I knew him through the Zinser family. He was married to a Miss Zinser, and he had been a loyal state worker. He had worked for this country from 1917 straight through. And he told me in the doorway, he said, "Mr. Harris, we had to realize that many things were withheld from us." Now, if you could have to withhold things from a man with the background of John McCloy, it must be a very, very serious business. And, of course, this is, in a sense, what Warren meant when he said there are things connected with this thing that will never be known in our lifetime. So, from the very beginning, it was a flawed document. And, of course, 26 volumes, it wasn't necessary to do 26 volumes, Dr. Stan. As you know, the best way to hide something is to write 26 volumes about it instead of one or two, because you can lose so many things. And one of the first things I learned when I interviewed people who had been interviewed by the FBI, and then when the report came out, by the way, your audience might be interested to know that the first people to get the actual Warren Commission report were the White House correspondents. One was an English girl, a great friend of mine named Jeannie Campbell, who worked for the Express, and we went down together for the Express. Again, I was interviewing people that I'd interviewed before with her. She was a wonderful reporter. And then we interviewed other people as well. And over again, these people would say, "Why, the FBI report said exactly the opposite of what we told them." And wives would look at their husbands and say, "Charlie, we said just the opposite." And then they would read the thing and so forth and so on. Now, one of the things I thought might be interesting for your audience, I'm sure they've read tons of the books and everything like that, to know where the cutting edge of the investigation is at the moment. And that involves our old friend David Ferry. David Ferry, well, let's put it this way, a good way to begin is Robert Mulholland was an important NBC reporter in November of 1963. And, of course, like all reporters, he had friends in various government offices and so forth. Two FBI officers told him the next day that they were convinced that David Ferry was involved in the Kennedy assassination. When the Warren report came out, he was described as having said to the FBI people that, in his opinion, David Ferry was involved in the Kennedy assassination. Of course, it was just the opposite. This man eventually got to be the head of CBS, of the whole CBS News, the NBC News division. And he was so angry with people who read the Warren Commission, saying, "My God, how did you know about Ferry's involvement?" that he finally told a reporter the whole story. And the story was simply that they had told him that David Ferry was involved. But in the Warren Commission, it comes out that he told them. That gives you an example of the quality of the work done on the Warren Commission. And frankly, the House Committee was even worse.
No, that's the House Select Committee.
Select Committee's work was even worse.
All right.
Yeah. And, of course, there were lawyers on the Warren Commission. One was a man named Willis. His job was to keep the CIA informed about everything that was going on. Jerry Ford's job was to keep the FBI informed about what was going on. And I could share a story with your audience about a man named Isaac Don Levine. Was his work, or was he known to you?
No, his one I don't. I know David Ferry, and you really ought to perhaps tell our listeners a little bit about David Ferry.
All
if
right.
They don't know something about him, but
well,
he was a pivotal a figure in the David Garrison investigation in New Orleans.
Jim Garrison, foolishly, in my opinion, and I wound up working for Garrison. Jim Garrison said that he was the most important man in history. And then he died. The idea is that he either poisoned himself or he was poisoned, and he was gone. And though by now he was a national figure and had been in the papers, and there had been articles about him, and of course he was living in New Orleans, there was no obituary. Now that would have taken a very strong signal from somebody in the government, probably the agency. When I say the agency, I do mean the CIA. But for a man that prominent, there were articles about him, but frankly, he rated an obituary simply on notoriety alone, if you see what I mean. He was a man that was born in Ohio. We have only recently learned that his father was a significant police figure in Cleveland, was a lieutenant in 1930, and wound up a captain in the very important Cleveland Police Department and so forth and so on. And he had a younger brother who in the 1930 census was already 5 years old. Now, Ferry didn't do anything during the war, but he was sort of in some special kind of, it was an old Catholic mission center. And that was his life for most of the years of the war, and then he left there, or was expelled. It's a little hard to find out. And he wound up teaching aeronautics at a Catholic school called Benedictine. And then he wound up as a very important executive in the Civil Air Patrol. The Civil Air Patrol is not without interest because the man who formed it up, after the war, known as Colonel Byrd, he was B-Y-R-D, he had been a nephew of the great admiral and wanted to be a pilot himself in the 20s and 30s, but lacked flying ability. He set up the CAP, the Civil Air Patrol, in September of 1941, just prior to our being attacked by Japan, and he is the man who wound up owning the school book depository. He was the owner of it at the time Oswald supposedly was firing from the sixth floor window. Now, when Oswald became a member of the Civil Air Patrol when he was about 15 in New Orleans, he knew then Captain Ferry. Ferry had also been a pilot and a very successful one while he lasted for Eastern Airlines, and then he had been released from that because of, well, of sexual promiscuity with boys and things like that. But he knew Oswald, and Oswald knew him. And as your readers may know, the moment it was announced that the president had been shot in Dealey Plaza, he, with a friend of his named Martins, drove lickety-split to get to Dallas. He was also a man who worked for Carlos Marcello, who is a very important kingpin in the mafia operating out of New Orleans, but his writ went well beyond Louisiana and included the city of Dallas among its fiefdoms. And when Robert Kennedy caused Carlos Marcello to be deported on an immigration plane and simply dumped at an airport down in Guatemala and just left there, it was Ferry who flew in and got him and brought him back. Ferry worked for Carlos Marcello. He also did flights over Cuba for the CIA. So he represented that interesting nexus of agency and mafia, and that's important because
they work very closely together. We'll be back in a moment.
I would say this.
A
friend of mine who I knew many people in the agency, some of them were boys I'd gone to school with. I knew that world rather better than most people because my stepfather, Garson Kanin, had been in the wartime.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dried guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Garrison and the investigation in New Orleans. And, of course, David Ferry is well-known. If you've never read the book, Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus, it's a fascinating analysis, and we used to carry it. We may very well still. Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus. But David Ferry was intimately involved with many of the things having to do with Lee Harvey Oswald and the Kennedy assassination. And Jones certainly has had the unique opportunity of having worked on this. He certainly worked for a time for Jim Garrison in New Orleans. He's been studying this going back to 1963 and trying to get the information together about who was really responsible for murdering the president. But the one thing we do know is that the government has lied. The media has lied. There's been a massive cover-up. They could never let the American people understand that this was a coup d'etat that was certainly known about by people in the FBI. It was known about by the people in the CIA. It was known about by people at levels, all levels of government. But they could never let the American people know that they killed Jack Kennedy, and there were a number of reasons. We won't get into that. Go right ahead, Jones, and let's see.
All right. Now, sticking with David Perry, that would bring us up to what I've been working on just in the past 2 or 3 months. A great friend of mine, one of the top police crime reporters in Los Angeles, a man who's been doing that job for decades, and knew the whole police world through all the divisions and all the hierarchies and so forth and so on, who was well-liked by them and well-respected by them and so forth and so on. He had learned some time ago from one of them that there had been a man named Ferry with the curious spelling. It's usually spelled F-E-R-R-Y, as you know, but in David Ferry's case, it was F-E-R-R-I-E. There had been a Ferry working in the Los Angeles Police Department, and so naturally this reporter wanted to know, well, great, what was his first name? And after 3.5 months, they cannot come up with the first name. So I called up my friends in law enforcement in New York and in Dallas. I know lots of people in Dallas law enforcement. And I said, if you work for a big city police department, how many documents will have your name attached to the work that you're doing? And he said anywhere between 20 and 30. One of these men who had known the reporter a very long time finally broke a 20-year friendship because the reporter kept asking him again and again, what was this man's first name? And they said they couldn't find out, and they were trying to find out. Frankly, they are still trying to find out. So I told the reporter that I believe that that meant it was a national security problem, Dr. Stan. And boy, would it take strength to redact and hold back information that had to appear on at least 20 or 30 documents. But I believe the agency was more than capable of doing that.
But Jones, they withhold information all the time from the American people.
They were very interested in penetrating the major police departments. I knew the man whose job it was to bring people into the department who would be working in the department but who would be answerable to the CIA. And I know who their top person was in the Dallas Police Department. And they were very, very good at that. Now, this man was eventually, we know more about him. Not only was his last name Ferry with the curious spelling, he also came from Louisiana. He was not out and out fired, but he was let go. And supposedly it was in connection with something that he was doing with pornographic rings. He went immediately back to Louisiana, and now I have reason to believe that he is still alive, but he's under his own witness protection program. I think still living somewhere in Texas. We are looking for him.
But this is not the David Ferry.
No, I have a feeling it is his younger brother.
I see, because basically David died a long time ago. So there's something
else. I believe it's his younger brother. Now, being the kind of man David Ferry was and his influence on young men where he could influence them, I can tell you a younger brother of David Ferry would have certainly done what his older brother David told him to do. And I believe that getting him on the L.A. Police Department is an important thing because California has an important role to play. I know your audience knows about people like Johnny Roselli and stuff and so forth, but California is an important place as far as the Kennedy assassination is concerned.
Roselli is mafia, isn't he?
Roselli was better than just mafia. Roselli was a man known to Joe Kennedy.
Hold that Roselli thought. Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Okay.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
There's a weapon there. The first thing a police officer does is to sniff the barrel and to find out if it's recently been fired, or you can smell it. If it's been fired, well, you'll see, smell the gunshots. And certainly, he was talking about certainly the Texas Book Dispensary and the weapon that has supposedly been fired by Lee Harvey Oswald. The question is, was it fired? And he said he assumes, of course, that at least somebody there from the police would have sniffed the barrel. But no mention was ever made of the fact that obviously this weapon there, the old rifle found in the Texas Book Dispensary, had been fired. If there had been, somebody would have mentioned it, but nobody ever mentioned it. Well, before we go on, Jones, would you like to get anything out for our listeners in a way of books you've written or articles?
Yes,
or how
it's
they
very
can get
simple
attention?
For them.
Go
I've
right
never
ahead.
Written a book in my life. I've had three dedicated to me, which is pretty good. I'm 81. I'll be 82 next month, and that's a great honor. It's probably an honor to write a book, but it's an even greater one to have one dedicated to you. I'm essentially a researcher. However, I got to a point in my research where I found that nobody would be willing to publish what I had found, nor would they be willing to publish the pictures that I had found. I wanted to just go on with this statement for a moment.
Go right ahead.
Most researchers believe, Dr. Stan, that the Kennedy assassination represented a success on the part of the planners and the people who achieved it. They didn't get what they wanted to out of it. Yes, organized crime got what they wanted to out of it, and no doubt they were pleased. But the fact is, The Kennedy assassination, and I didn't learn this till I began to question people at 10th and Patton. Now, this is where Officer Tippett was shot. The Kennedy assassination was not a one-act drama. It was the shooting of the president was merely act one. It was followed by the shooting of a motor patrol officer, and then everybody racing to the Texas Theater, and there the whole thing went up in smoke because the original plan did not call for Lee Harvey Oswald to be brought in alive to a police station. In other words, in essence, the people who planned the Kennedy assassination, and it was a mixture, a small section of the CIA and a rather small section, though all of organized crime would like to have seen, including Jack Ruby, would love to have seen something done about the Kennedys and so forth and so on. The overall plan, and that's where Mexico City is important and so forth, all that came to a dead stop when Oswald was brought in alive. From the point of view of the ultimate planners, let me just put it to you this way. When the CIA was formed in 1946, it was with in statute form that they were not allowed to operate anywhere inside the United States. That was to be the grounds for the FBI, but that they could operate all over the world, but not in the United States. They broke those rules, defied it, and operated very strongly in the United States, especially in states like Florida, Louisiana, and Texas, where they had very big and strongly financed operations. Now, they were forbidden to do that, so naturally, when they were formed up, the British, who knew that we had worked with organized crime on the docks in New York, the Gestapo was very strong in New York and Philadelphia, and with the help of Luciano, his lawyer saw this as a useful thing for him. Then organized crime helped to kill German agents in the New York harbor and so forth. And there were British agents who were allowed to do that too. The first people to have green cards were British agents operating with Hoover's knowledge and acceptance and so forth. If they happened to kill a man and were captured by the police, all they said was, call Rector 23515, that was the FBI phone number downtown, and an FBI officer would come and release them. So we had used organized crime, and as you know, we felt that their use would be helpful when we invaded Sicily, because Mussolini had been very hard on organized crime in Sicily and stuff and so forth. But the fact is, we made too much use of it, and we really didn't need that. George Patton could have done just beautifully without any of that. Okay, so it's important to get that as a background. Now, a former CIA person who I've known for years and who's helped me over the years one day interrupted me when I was asking something by saying this to me. Jonesy, in the 1950s and 60s, there's no point in considering the CIA and organized crime as two separate institutions. So carefully were they intermelded, and why not? Both were operating illegally all over the United States.
And I think that is so vitally important, and certainly there's a number of books that go into that. One, Double Cross by Chuck Giancano, the brother of Sam Giancano, who talks of the close relationship between the CIA and, of course, the mafia, and, of course, the title.
I would put it this way. Somebody once asked me where I thought America had gone off the tracks in the post-war world, and I had to say, the Kennedy election was stolen in 1960. I don't know how many of your audience realize that. Not only was it stolen, Nixon had all the evidence that he needed, and I said to him, I know you've got it, Dick, but you can't use it because it would shatter the whole fabric of the country if it came out.
And that is true. They could not let the American people know. Everybody knew. Richard Nixon knew, and the people in high positions. But they had to give the American people the idea, oh, we're a democracy, and the elections are fixed. Pardon me. The elections are free and open, and the people, the choice becomes president. And that is a totally fraudulent. I mean, they stole the election. They knew they stole the election. And Nixon was told to be quiet, to go along, to accept it. And he would become president at a later date.
Well, the point is, it begins with fraud at the polls, and it winds up with the unsolved death of the man who profited by the fraud at the polls. I claim we have never really recovered from either event.
All right, go right ahead.
Now, the ticket is on this business of Ferry. I believe that the way the boys had it planned, and of course, once again, it represents the CIA plans often fall apart. The CIA, I think, has been perhaps the worst segment of our government since the old Indian Affairs Bureau, both for corruption and incompetence. Though I always will state that many fine men worked for it because I knew many fine men that worked for it. There were fine people that worked for it, but I think as an organization, it got a horrendous track record, if I may so state. And it was their plan and program that fell apart on that day. I believe that the mob had planned the whole thing by themselves. It would have probably worked out. But it was the agency participation, and this is where our friend Mr. Roselli came in. Mr. Roselli, who was sometimes known in that odd world as Colonel Ralston, I want to tell your folks that Mr. Roselli begins life as a man named Sacco. And because of the Sacco Vanzetti case in the 20s, naturally, he didn't want to keep that name. So he changed it to Roselli. But he knew Joe Kennedy from the 20s on, and when Joe Kennedy wanted to get his son made president, he didn't turn to Frank Sinatra. Yes, Sinatra was bosom pals with the mob at every and all levels. He went to his old friend Johnny Roselli. It was Johnny Roselli that arranged for organized crime, and they were reluctant because of what Robert Kennedy had been doing in his attacks on the Teamsters and everything else and so forth. And he assured them that everything would be all right. And I believe it was typical of the mob that they said, well, you said for us all to work and help in this thing, and we did, and we got screwed, frankly. Now you've got to be in charge of eliminating the problem. That's very much. And, of course, he was killed. When you're an important figure like Jimmy Hoffa or Johnny Roselli, and you are heard to say, you know, I am never going to do another hour's time, meaning in jail, ever again, you have virtually written your own death sentence. And that's what both Hoffa and Roselli insisted. They would say anything rather than to have to go behind bars again. Johnny Roselli was in residence at the Cabana Motel. He had been flown in early that morning. He had left Florida the day before, had gone to New Orleans, and then up to Houston, spent the night in Houston, and then early the morning of the 22nd, he was ensconced at the Cabana Motel. And looking from his television set, the first act must have gone beautifully, the slaying of John Kennedy, then the report of the killing of the motor patrol officer, all that seemed fine, and no doubt he thought the third act would be the taking, but the killing of Oswald. And what if Oswald had been killed? He was carrying a gun. He pulled the gun. If he had been shot, nobody would have said police brutality, would they? But you would have been left at the end of the working day or in the middle of the working day with two things. I call them big wooden knitting needles. One is the rifle on the sixth floor, which could be attached to a man named Heidel. That was supposed to be a pseudonym that Oswald used. And the second would be the body of the dead man himself on the floor of Texas Theater. And then an entirely different story, I believe, would have emerged. But when Ruby killed Oswald, The French reporters especially went nuts. They knew darn well this meant that this was a big-time operation. And, of course, the man assigned to do this, Ruby, was probably assigned by Roselli. And they would like to have had it done on Friday or Saturday, rather than to have to wait until Sunday. But that meant that all the great things that were supposed to happen independently of a mob figure like Lyndon Johnson replacing John Kennedy and his brother, independently of that, there were, I believe, going to be foreign policy things that but could not remotely be accomplished once Jack Ruby had entered the picture. Now, part of that was going to involve our friend David Berry. And I believe, and the things that I'm working on now indicates to me that when the body of Lee Harvey Oswald would have then gone to Parkland Hospital, there would have been a mechanism by which somebody would have thought, wait a second, I knew a Lee Harvey Oswald, but it wasn't this fellow. And then another big story would have come trumpeting out. The thing that the researchers could never understand was, from the point of view of the planners, Dr. Stan, this thing had to be seen in Dealey Plaza immediately as a conspiracy, meaning more than one person firing. The man who fired from the grassy knoll did not need a rifle at that distance. He fired a long barrel pistol. Now, the rifle fire came from the Daltex building, which was a much better place to fire on than the sixth-floor window. I remember Don, what was his name, who came back. He was an important fellow that had the great CBS 60-minute thing. Don Hewitt, yes. He told me once that when he went and refilmed everything in 1967 with all the witnesses and everything, that he sat at that window, the sixth-floor window, and he told his people to leave him alone, and he said, for 3 hours, I looked out that window, and he said, I knew damn well nobody had fired from that window. And I said, but Mr. Hewitt, what about the Warren Commission? And he said to me over the phone, why, I didn't believe a goddamn thing that I read in the Warren Commission. And I said, but Mr. Hewitt, all those programs you had with people like Dan Rather and Mike Wallace, all in total support of the Warren Commission. And he said, that's right, Mr. Harris, I did do that. What he was telling me, that he didn't believe any of it, but he went along with it. Now, I knew Walter Cronkite well, who honestly believed that the Warren Commission more or less had the story, and both the Cronkites were friends of mine, and he often helped me, even though he didn't agree with what it was I was looking into or trying to find out about it, and so forth and so on. But I thought that was an amazing statement from Hewitt. Now, I believe this, that essentially, originally, the drive that he was making towards Dallas, that is, our friend David Ferry, my hunch is that somehow it would have turned out that there was a problem on the ID of the boy that had been shot down in the dark of Texas Theater. And that would have been part of the very, very important story. And the last thing I want to tell your readers is this. We have now discovered on Houston Street and blown up the pictures two CIA officers, a man named Robertson and a man named Lynch. These were CIA officers that worked with the boys who went into the Bay of Pigs and were on the ground with them when they took that awful shellacking. And they especially represented that part of the CIA which was furious at John Kennedy for removing the air, the B-26s. When they were taking that great shellacking on the ground, Kennedy finally decided he was more interested in his profile than his courage and so forth. And so those planes were withdrawn. And that section of the CIA never forgave him for that. So you've got these two men now. What are they doing on Houston Street? And then I think your audience will know about Howard Hunt. We have Hunt crossing Elm Street after the cars have gone. We now know that David Adley Phillips, who was Maurice Bishop and who handled Oswald, in the United States from time to time and was in charge of the whole French bars in Mexico City. We now know that He made a deathbed confession to his brother that he was in Dallas that day, but he never said so to me. I was on a David Susskind program with him and got to know him well. And he'd written books and never said that he was there on the day, but we know now that he was. There was a virtual agency convention right there in Dealey Plaza.
And so
of course, all this is going to come out.
And because E. Howard Hunt on his deathbed told his sons who were very
well, Hunt had been the one to set up the CIA station, and he did it early on, and that's where Bill Buckley worked for a while for the CIA. He just found the work very boring. You know, a lot of it is just secretarial bureaucratic work, so he left. But Hunt had set it up, you see. Now, what Hunt said to his kids, he told them different stories. He was kind of showing off for them and bragging in his own way. His point was, yes, kids, I knew it was going to take place, but no, kids, I wasn't involved. I don't believe he told them he was there that day, but we sure have him crossing the road of Elm Street after the cars have gone by. And he admitted it to a reporter who had shown him this picture, who wanted to write a final book just before he died. And was showing the pictures, he said, yes, that's me.
Hold that thought.
All right.
Go right ahead.
So, the point here is that this is an incredible episode.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Is my interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, and she describes exactly what happened the evening before the assassination, when there was a meeting, not in Dallas, but in Houston. Her lover, J. LBJ was there, and certainly J. Edgar Hoover was there, and people were there from the CIA, and people were there from the Mafia, and people were there from the major oil men, and they all agreed they were going to kill the president the following day. And it's a fascinating interview with a woman who was intimate with LBJ, and he told her that he left the meeting and he went over to her and said, well, after tomorrow, I'm not going to have to worry about those Kennedy boys again. Fascinating information you will not hear else. We have a great DVD put together by our good friend Bob Fletcher, and he has accumulated all sorts of information. Bob does an excellent job, and then we carry the book, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza by our friend Craig Roberts are all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know what happened to Martin Luther King, we have a 4-tape set on the trial that was held. Convicted one of the people associated with the murder, but you never heard about it. The controlled media blocked out the story of this trial. How could you have a major trial where the jury came up and said the government was responsible for killing LBJ? We have freedom of the press. Why couldn't that get out? Well, freedom of the press means when you own the press, you have the ability to conceal the information. We have the 4-CD set, and we actually have a book written by the gentleman, his name is Pepper, Mr. Pepper, who is employed by the Martin Luther King's family to bring this lawsuit. And it did get into court, and they had a jury trial, and they had a judge. Totally blacked out by the control media. We've got a great 4-tape set on Bobby Kennedy and how he was killed, and Saran did not kill him. The shot came from behind, about an inch behind, and of course, Saran was 3 or 4 feet in front of Bobby Kennedy, not behind. The shot was fired from about an inch and a half away from Bobby Kennedy. We have a book, Who Killed Bobby? And, of course, we have a DVD made by the British Broadcasting Company. Of course, they would never be allowed to show the film, the DVD, here in the United States, but it is available. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Incidentally, I think the book is called Who Killed Bobby, and I've forgotten the title of the DVD, but you can order them. The information you're not going to be able to get elsewhere. Do we employ assassins? Absolutely. We have a 4-tape set. It's called Deadly Assassins, and where I interviewed 2 CIA assassins, and then the man who tracked down the man who was paid by the OSS to kill General Patton. We have the book Target Patton. They killed General Patton. And, of course, they kill many of our military officers who dare to tell the truth or a threat to the establishment. And there is an establishment. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to analyze what's going on. You need to understand what is really taking place. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, so we can maintain our network of stations and expand that network, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be back in just a moment with another fascinating program.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, this evening we're going to do something a little different. First of all, we've been talking about the effort to tear out the dams on the Klamath River, which is part of a program to destroy the agriculture in that area, to encourage flooding, to actually destroy certainly the fishing in that area, to actually impoverish the people. Of course, when you take the dams out, you do away with the hydroelectric power that is being the electricity that's generated. But dams are so important to provide adequate water for agriculture. Up there, there's certainly people have been there close to 100 years. But, of course, all of this is being destroyed because they're going to take out the four dams. Now, with us this evening are two people who actually run a dredging on the river there, the gold dredging. And certainly it's but, of course, by taking the dams out, it's going to have a profound impact on their business. And then we have our friend Kirk McKenzie, who's been following this and has arranged for these various people to be with us. We have, first of all, Jim Foley. Jim Foley, would you like to say hello to our listeners?
I sure would. Hello.
Hi, Jim. And then Mike Adams, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
And then Kirk McKenzie. Kirk, are you there?
Stan, I am.
All right, fine. Well, everybody's voice is balanced, so we're fortunate. We've never done something like this with a three-way, four-way call. But for now, certainly, let's start out with Mike. Mike, you are a gold dredger. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this and why you're concerned about them taking out the dams?
Well, let's start off with the fact that years ago I was a union carpenter, and as the economy kind of went down the hill, I ended up starting to be a gold dredger. And I've done that full time since about 2002. And we've gone through various litigations. Right now they have a shutdown for what we can, I think, we can't see any scientific reason for it. It's all agenda driven, much as what the dams are. And, yeah, when they take out the dams, it's going to radically affect this river. All the sediment behind the dams will be covering the river, and if we get to go back in it, it's going to make it a nasty place to try to mine in.
All right, fine. Well, now, basically, are they going to go ahead? Is there anything that stands in the way of taking out the dams?
Well, I can't say what's going to finally probably stand in their way, but we are doing our best through our representatives to A, take away their money so they don't have any money to take it out with. But their latest proposal is to simply breach the dam, which if it doesn't take that much C4 to open a hole in them.
All right, fine. Now, basically, do you use some sort of boat to dredge with? How do you actually dredge? Do you use a raft? How do you do that?
Well, I have two dredges, a 4-inch and a 6-inch.
Right.
And the size is dictated by the size of the hole or the nozzle of the hose, excuse me.
But how do you get this? Do you just stand on the river edge and dredge? How do you
No. The dredge is equipped with an air pump, and we do a hookah. Which is like a skin diving.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
All right.
All right, Mike, you go ahead and explain how this works. And basically, then, do you do like scuba diving?
It's basically like scuba diving, only we don't use a tank. We have a pump up on the surface that pumps air down to us through an airline. And so, yes, we go under the water and then take the nozzle and if you would, vacuum up the sand and gravel off the bottom of the river, which it then goes up and across a riffle box, which separates the heavy metals and puts the sand and the gravel back in the river, 20, 30 feet behind where we started.
All right, fine. Well, this, you can make a living and good, honest living at this?
It is an honest living. It's a tough living. And there are days when you don't make wages, and there are days when you think, if we could do this every day, I'd be a rich man. It all averages out to be a moderate or modest living, albeit hard. I mean, it's a lot of strenuous work.
All right, fine. So basically what you're doing is vacuuming up the floor of the river, and sitting there are gold or particles, smaller particles of gold. Are there any gold nuggets in there?
Oh, yes. The largest my partner and I found was about 1 3/4 ounces. I ended up with a pick of the litter 1 year, and I ended up with the 3/4 ounce pocket rock, which is about the size of a small dice.
All right, fine. Now, is Jim your partner, or is Jim simply a friend or competitor?
Well, let's not say competitor. We all have our own claims. Jim is a friend and associate out here on the river.
Okay,
he's
fine.
Not my partner, though.
Okay, fine. So basically then what you have is you have a claim. How much of the river do you have that you can utilize on a regular basis?
I actually have claims just off on a tributary, and I have about 80 acres worth of claims, although the claim, because of that, it goes up the hillside and whatnot. But there's 2 miles worth of creek that I can mine or could have mined.
And is this creek, is there a fair amount of water in it? It's, you know, we say creek usually sounds like it's pretty small.
Well, yeah, it's not, you can't jump across it. You pick your spot, you might get wet to your knees.
All right, fine. Hold on there. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, we've been talking to Mike Adams, who actually is a gold dredger. And he dredges there on they have a creek. He's got about, a couple of miles of creek bed that they can dredge. Would that be a fair estimate, a couple of miles, or what would you say?
Yeah, it's about 2 miles.
About 2 miles of creek that he can dredge, and he gets in there, maybe up to his knees. You don't actually have to then go like scuba diving at all. You can just get out there in the water and dredge it up, and then you run the material that you dredge up through a sluice box, and you get out the gold fragments. Is that how it works?
Basically, but now when I say you can wade across it up to your knees, that's before we pull all the sand and gravel out. Sand and gravel can be 6-8 feet deep. And so when you get down to the bedrock, which is where the gold tends to work, and now you've got yourself a 10-foot deep hole, and yeah, you want to air on it.
All right, fine. Well, now, Jim, how long have you been gold dredging?
I've been gold dredging since about 1977. Starting in Alaska and then Oregon and now here in California.
All right, fine. Now, basically, have you been shut down as well?
Yes. The whole state of California is now shut down to suction dredge mining. And
why?
Like
what is the basis for that? Is it because you're destroying the environment, it's hurting the fish, or is it simply that they want to make your life miserable?
Well, miners, the suction dredge miners have been under attack for the last 10 years by environmental extremists and tribal extremists, and their claim is that we kill fish and that we harm the environment, neither of which claim can be proven. I've challenged them numbers of times to produce one fish that a suction dredger has ever killed, and nobody has ever taken me up on it. We do not kill fish.
All right, fine. How long have you been shut down?
We've been shut down since 2009.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, the environmentalism is being used to destroy industry, to destroy the, they've destroyed the lumber industry, they've destroyed the fishing industry in many respects, they're going to destroy the agricultural industry, and when you understand, they're going to, of course, to destroy the hydroelectric industry in this area, and they know exactly what they're doing. They just, the average individual doesn't understand that, of course, they intend to destroy all of our industries. I mean, look and see what they've done. They've destroyed a large part of the automotive industry here in the United States. Well, Barack Obama gave something like $65 billion to General Motors with a proviso that they open new factories, and they did open new factories. General Motors opened factories in China. And then they gave Chrysler, gave it away. They didn't sell Chrysler. They gave it away to Fiat. And Fiat opened new plants in Mexico and in Italy. And then, of course, they pretty well destroyed the boat building here. They've destroyed the shoe industry. They've destroyed the fishing industry. They've destroyed the textile industry. They've certainly destroyed the electronic industry. You have to understand they've destroyed a lot of our food and agricultural industry here in certainly in the central part of California. They're shifting it all overseas. They've destroyed the lumber industry. They've destroyed most of our mining. They've destroyed our oil companies. You must understand that the whole idea is to destroy the industrial base and the agricultural base of our country, but we can't let the American people know that. So they always have to have a phony excuse. The dredgers are killing the fish. Well, but they can't ever point out a fish that's ever been killed. That doesn't matter. Well, they're disturbing the environment. And, well, what do you mean the environment? Well, they're just destroying the environment. And because these people have powerful friends in Washington, D.C. who want to destroy the infrastructure of this nation, they're having a great time doing it. And the average individual can't figure out what's going on. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. So basically, Kirk, you know, of course, Kirk, our friend Kirk McKenzie, is working up there with the people, and we've interviewed people who actually are going to have their farms destroyed when they take the dams out. We've talked to people who are certainly going to have the lumber industry even worse impact than it already is. They've used the Scotted Owl to shut down much of it. They're going to shut down the rest of the lumber industry. And then, of course, they're going to leave the forest untended. And then they're going to burn down. And all the animals are going to be burned and destroyed. The animal habitat's going to be destroyed. And they're not interested in the animals. They're interested in destruction. Kirk, why don't you give us your summary of what's going on?
Well, I think that, you know, it's good that I appreciate you having this series, because what I'm trying to bring to your viewing audience, your listening audience, is different parts of this whole story, because you begin to see the totality. It's not just, you know, the going after ranchers and the going after the farmers, the going after the mining, the going after the timber, you know, all these people being affected. But I think what, you know, the way I view this is, if you look at it from the perspective of us as Americans, you know, we don't see or hear much about middle America, you know, the heartland out there, because they don't put it on TV and you don't hear it on the news. But it's what, probably 95% of their land, and it's where all of our energy and our, you know, our food and our water and, you know, our construction materials, our shelter. I mean, it's basically the backbone of this nation, you know, and has been the breadbasket of the world. And what you realize is it's in the heartland that all the treasury of the United States actually exists. It exists in dirt, you know. It's there, and these are the people who live on it. They work on it. They bring forth all this prosperity. They generally don't make a whole lot of money themselves. That tends to seem to flow to the banking centers. But, you know, this is the national treasury, and essentially it's being shut down. And what's happening in Siskiyou County, by actually seeing, you know, the real case and actually seeing the people being affected, you begin to get a bigger understanding or a kind of a gut-level understanding of what's happening across this nation. I mean, the dam removals, the dam removals aren't just happening here in Siskiyou County. There's over 850 that have been moved nationwide, and there's plans to remove, I think, most all of them. And so, you know, this is going to affect all of our stuff. It's going to affect the urban people. We just don't realize that yet. And so I think that the fight that Jim and Michael and the others are engaged in is our fight. And we need to hook up, because we're all Americans, and we need to work together and go forward, I think, in a united front to try and get our country back.
And I think people have to understand that the vast majority of the American people don't want this. They don't want to lose our automotive industry. They don't want to lose our steel industry. They don't want to lose our electronic industry. They don't want to lose our textile industry. They don't want to lose the boat building industry. They don't want to lose the shoe industry. They certainly don't want to lose our balanced parts of our agricultural industry, our lumber, our mining. But there is a small, organized group. Oh, with the connivance of the great tax-exempt foundations, with the connivance, certainly, of many of our educational institutions and the media, they're doing this, and there's just no organized opposition. That's the problem. And, of course, what we're trying to do is get people to understand that freedom is indivisible. If one person is losing their freedom, if the gold diggers or dredgers are losing their freedom, suddenly, why, of course, it affects you, just as you may have a job now, but will you have one 6 months from now? Will you have one a year from now? Maybe you're a professional individual. Maybe, of course, you're a radiologist, but then, of course, they can read a lot of those x-rays just as easily over in India. Maybe you're an architect, but they can do the architecture in China. Maybe, of course, you certainly have another skill of Sydney. But, of course, so much of this can be done in other countries now because of electronics. They transferred many of our answering services overseas, our accounting, our bookkeeping. And there is an organized, intentional effort to send American jobs overseas. And, of course, that's why they took down the tariffs. They told us if we didn't take down the tariffs, why we'd have high unemployment. Ladies and gentlemen, the justification for taking down the tariffs was so we would have full employment. We'd be producing all these goods, and we could export them, and look and see what's happened. Don't you understand? They knew what they were doing. The tariffs, they were to protect our industry. We don't have to need the rest of the world. But, of course, our leaders have no loyalty to America. Their job, their goal, their purpose is to destroy the industrial foundation of this country, to transfer our jobs overseas, because their loyalty is not to the United States, but to this globalist dream. Well, certainly, Jim or Mike, are you getting any help at all from our legislators, from our Congress? I mean, certainly, and this has been going on for a couple of years. You've been out of work, you've been shut down. What's the outlook for getting some help? And is there any organization that's trying to bring together the people who are losing out on lumber, who are losing out on agriculture, the people who are going to be destroyed up in that area around the Klamath when they take out those dams? And how soon are they going to start?
Well, we do have some local groups that are struggling with it. And it's interesting that when you talk about legislators, now the dredging issue is a local, I say local, it's a California issue. It's the California legislature that's put us out of the business. But in the logging and agriculture and taking out the dams, those are often federal issues, and it's interesting. We're pulling in more support from districts that are not ours and from states that are not ours. We have, as an example, Rob Bishop from Utah is pounding his fist on the desk to the same tune that we are. Congressman McClintock, who is not our representative but another district, is also assisting us.
All right, fine. Well, basically, of course, Tom, I think you've become aware of Agenda 21. Do you, either one of you know what Agenda 21 is, this master plan that is being implemented?
Mm-hmm.
Have you studied Agenda 21?
I'm very aware of it.
All right, fine. Well, Sydney, we need to get this information out, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't happening by accident. They know exactly what they're doing. I think that one of the biggest things is to realize
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
So they go over to China, you go to Malaysia, go to Singapore, go to many of these places. You want to talk about pollution. Do you see, basically, it is because they want to destroy industry, because they want to take away our ability to have electricity. They want to restrict our use of nuclear energy. They're tearing the dams out so we won't have hydroelectric energy. They certainly do not want us to burn fossil fuel energy. My understanding is they've even shut down a geothermal development. In fact, even in places, they're doing everything they can to block the use of solar energy. We will not have electricity. People don't understand this has nothing to do, certainly, with air pollution or the safety of nuclear. They want to destroy America. America's under attack, not from the terrorists and not from, from the Al-Qaeda. We're under attack from these people in America, and the media does not bring this out. Are you getting any coverage, either Mike or Jim? Are you getting any coverage up there by the major media? Is anybody in the media willing to talk about these things?
No, I haven't seen anything in the major media at all. The only time that you'll see it is if we're driven to violence, and then they'll talk about the violence, but not the root cause.
And I think it's so highly important. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or a comment, and I know we have listeners all across America this time of night, even though it's late, we know you're out there listening, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're trying to get the information out because, remember, you can hear this program on our archives. It'll be available 24 hours a day for the next 6 weeks on at RadioLiberty.com. Kirk, are you having any luck getting more publicity for the tragedy that's befalling the people in the dredging industry, the people in the fishing industry, the people in the agriculture industry or lumber industry in that area?
Well, certainly working on it. Your show is certainly, a big blessing here because I think this is the first time they've had a chance to get the word out beyond, Siskiyou County. This is the challenge, I believe, that I'm pretty skeptical about the media coming from New York City, which is where all the television is controlled, a good deal of radio, and 95% of magazines. I'm pretty skeptical that we're going to get any kind of national coverage. On the other hand, we are beginning to build our own communication network amongst the Tea Party groups, grassroots organizations, and so forth, and there is a vibrant dialogue going on and hooking people up across the country, getting them to exchange information, ideas, and strategies, and to be able to share experiences and what works, what doesn't work, and so forth. So we're organizing, and that is moving forward. And I think we'll continue to, you had some recommendations a couple shows ago. We'll work on that to try and get some additional radio coverage, and we will generate as much coverage as we can ourselves through the Internet, through, YouTube videos. I will be, within the next 3 to 4 weeks, publishing a documentary on what I learned up in Siskiyou County, and hopefully do a fair job of trying to tell their story and get that out there. And I invite, your listeners to help to participate, to not only watch these YouTube videos, but to then get their friends and their mailing list and so forth to watch them as well, because that's how we can get the word out. So we're doing what we can, but I think that the mainstream media, so to speak, is pretty much a black hole for patriots of this country.
Well, our job, of course, is to get the information out, and so the information is here. We understand it. We actually carry Agenda 21, formerly published by the United Nations. They stopped publishing it. They don't want the public to know there's a master plan, but we certainly have our four tape sets on sustainable development, which is Agenda 21. We carry, of course, and the only people we really have is a summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. That's the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. We have the Earth Chart. You can get that off the Internet. You need, of course, to read the message on the Georgia Guidestones. And that is put up in Elberton, Georgia. They all tie together. They have an agenda. They know exactly what they want to do. They want to markedly limit the population. They want to largely depopulate the earth. They want to kill off the people, but they want to kill off the animals too. They certainly want to destroy the infrastructure of our nation. How could anything like that be going on? That sounds like paranoia. No, ladies and gentlemen, you're only paranoid when you imagine people are against you. This is really going on today, and this is why, by my calculation, we got about 23 million people either underemployed, unemployed, or suddenly given up looking for work, and those figures would come from a recent article by Robert Samuelson. Help us get the word out. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you. that is.
Don't be late.
No. Quiet with
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We do have one line open, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, we have actually Jim Foley and Mike Adams, the dredgers up in the Klamath River, the branches of it. We have Kirk McKenzie, who certainly is a friend, who certainly is helping us coordinate contacting these people up in the Klamath area who are suddenly coming under some tremendous pressure from and we call it the environmental movement. I call it simply the Brotherhood of Darkness that is intent upon destroying the infrastructure of this nation. Now, certainly, if you are out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, the number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, you can get the Agenda 21 program from Radio Liberty. You can find this up on the internet. We have the original document. We have the one, the initial one that was actually developed here in Santa Cruz, where I live, which is the basis upon which the United Nations Agenda 21 was formed. We have the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is contained in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, along with the Earth Charter. You can get the Earth Charter on the internet. Certainly, we have the material on the Georgia Guidestones in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. If you're going to get two things, get the Sustainable Development Syllabus and certainly get the my talk on sustainable development, The Road to World Government. Now, of course, we also had carry an excellent book by our good friend Orlean Coulomb, By Stealth and Deception, By Stealth and Deception, which goes into the background of Agenda 21. It's a very well-done book, and Orlean Coulomb is to be certainly congratulated for that. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, either Jim or Mike, do you have a website or anything that you'd like to put out so people could get in touch with you and get more information on either your problem or the problem that people up there in Klamath are having? Is there any organized opposition with websites that should be circulated?
I'm unaware of any. I don't know whether Jim knows of any.
There is no website.
Let me suggest in the short term, have people go to California.
There are various mining websites, but they don't deal
quick fix
particularly
here to get some contact
with the subject.
We're two people talking. Kirk, why don't you go ahead? Kirk, you go ahead and get the information out. Then we'll go back to Jim. Go ahead. Kirk, what were we going to say?
I apologize. I couldn't hear Jim. I was going to say, for right now, have people go to CaliforniaPatriotsForum.com. It's just come up. There's only basic contact information, but that'll become a point. And then as we develop more contact points in Siskiyou County, we'll be passing people over to those.
All right, Jim, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, you asked early on, you asked Mike if we were getting any help from our legislators. And actually, our legislators are attacking us. It's a sad day when the government that's supposed to be put in place to protect its people actually attacks their people. They're the ones that have banned us from our suction dredge mining. And one real important point here is that what we miners do, we do as a right. An act of Congress guarantees us this right. It's Bill H.R. 365. It was put in place in 1866. It was amended in 1872, as commonly known now as the Mining Law of 1872. But all other natural resource users need to understand that if the environmental movement can topple somebody that has a constitutional right to do what they do, then any of the others will fall like dominoes also, just like you were speaking about the mining and, I mean, the logging industry and things of that nature.
But you see,
we have
these,
a right to do what we do.
But you see, these people don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in an elite ruling our country, and they've taken over. They don't even teach the Constitution in our schools. They teach all sorts of things about how we're a democracy, and we're not a democracy. We're a republic. We're a nation of law, not of men. If you can convince the American people we're a democracy, then whatever the people vote for, certainly will change, and people will always vote. I mean, after all, most people aren't concerned about the land dredgers. Most people aren't concerned about the timber. They're not concerned about the agriculture. They're not concerned about the fact that you're going to have flooding up there. They're not concerned that the aquifers are going to be drained. There's not going to be any stores of water when times of drought come. They're not concerned about the fishing in the Klamath, because it doesn't involve them, and so they go right along with it. That's why we have to insist we're a republic, we're a nation of laws, and it doesn't matter what the people want. They can amend the Constitution, but it's a difficult process. The elite who are running things certainly do not want to go to the trouble to amend the Constitution, because they know the people would want to be free. And so they have done this thing surreptitiously, little by little, step by step, playing one group against another. And then, of course, in Sacramento, we have the finest politicians that money could buy. And when you understand that so many of these people are bought and purchased and they do what they're told to do, then you can begin to understand what's going on.
We are a nation of laws, Dr. Stan.
No, we were a nation of laws. We're not anymore.
It's incredible that our lawmakers break the law. Actually, our state lawmakers have broken federal law by this ban.
No question at all, but they don't worry about the law, because who is going to hold them to the law? Have you appealed to our courts? Our courts have been infiltrated. Our judges are many times bought and sold, you know, by the highest bidder. In fact, it was so interesting. Somebody had suggested during the debate last night to Governor Perry that he had his position on the HPV vaccine, mandating it to be given to girls at 11 or 12 years of age. And, of course, the people who produced the vaccine had given him $5,000. And his remark was, well, if you're suggesting that I sold out my principles for $5,000, I'm offended. And I think the answer should have been that, well, certainly I think you do not want to be exposed, but you took the money in payment for certainly doing something for that producer. They were rewarding you because you were going to benefit them. You may be offended. Are you offended because you feel this infringes on your, suggests your character is bad, or you're offended because the public now knows just how corrupt you are? I wish somebody had had the credit to say that. In fact, it was so interesting when Congressman Ron Paul was asked what he thought of Governor Perry. His remark was, well, you know, my taxes have doubled since, you know, he became the governor, and I don't want to say anything against him. I'm afraid he'll raise my taxes even more. And I think that that's really what it's about. Well, anyway, of course, the one thing that I think the people up there ought to do is get organized and simply vote out your assemblymen and vote out your senators. You can do that. But if you sit around and complain, unless you actually get involved and vote those people out of office and spend as much time and effort as you can to expose what they've done, only when people understand that freedom is one ball of wax and you can't have one group of people lose their freedom without everybody's freedom being endangered. And the one thing these people fear is the exposure, in my estimation. What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
I agree 100%. And speaking of freedom, you know, one of the basic tenets of freedom is private property. What the California legislators have done here has struck a mortal blow at private property, because the Supreme Court has held that mineral rights are ownership in land. What Mike has in his claim is private property. When they tell him he can't mine his own property, that's like telling you you can't live in your house.
Absolutely, but the elite don't believe in property. They want to run things. They want to control things. They don't believe in the Constitution. They may suddenly mouth support for it, but you judge people by what they're doing. The only way to get these people's attention is certainly by a massive campaign, and certainly through the internet now, certainly going door to door, talking to people, mobilizing the people there and get them to march down to Sacramento. But the biggest thing is begin organizing now. The elections are coming up next year, and you should vote out every one of the congressmen and very one of the state assemblymen and state senators who's gone along with this.
Well, I for one am very active in the local Tea Party, and we are trying to do just exactly that now. In our area, we happen to have a good congressman and a good representative. The redistricting may change that. We don't know. Our problem is that we have just one, as an example, representative and one senator for several counties, and yet you go to L.A. and you have three senators and three congressmen for half of a city. And we're just so outvoted by the liberals that our best effort is to try to educate them that they are detrimental to their health, too, and then fight them in court.
Well, I think the one thing they fear is, because remember, the courts are rigged. And you may think you're going to get a fair shake in the courts, and you might be lucky enough to get an honest judge. But the most important thing you can do is begin collecting money and go after all the bad senators, all the bad assemblymen here, and join forces with other people, because there are literally hundreds of groups in California working. But, of course, they've all been infiltrated by the other side. To neutralize them are not effective. And you've got to understand that we're dealing with people who are very well organized. And they have their people planted in the conservative movement. They have their people planted in the liberal movement. They have their people planted in the Christian movement. I've been at this for almost 50 years. I've seen how this works. And I know people leading, honest, goodness, God-fearing conservative leaders, and their best friend has been assigned to them, and he's on the other side, but he pretends to be such a good friend, a good conservative and Christian, and he's actually there just undermining him. You've got to learn who these people are. You've got to reach people and let them understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the nation we have, and they're doing this step by step. And they're destroying all of the industrial and agricultural and mining and lumber base of this country. They know exactly what they're doing, and the solutions are really very, very simple, you know, from a geopolitical point of view. And not one of our political leaders has the courage to suggest what really needs to be done. That's, of course, to reinstitute tariffs and simply to start raising the taxes on our corporations. Those corporations that go overseas, oh, of course, they're going to pay a 35% tax. And instead of taxing the corporations that stay in America 35%, cut their taxes to 2 or 3 or 5%, comparable to other countries, cheaper than other countries, and those corporations would return home. But that would not help you. And what you need to do from your point of view is get rid of those people in Sacramento, those people, who, of course, who are simply being financed by the people who finance the environmental movement and want to destroy the infrastructure of our society. Jim, how do you earn a living now? Do you have some alternative means of earning a living now that they've shut you down for a couple of years?
I don't mine as a living. I'm retired.
Okay, fine. So you just do this as an avocation and something you enjoy doing?
Yes.
How about you, Mike? How are you getting?
I derive, let us not say all of my living, but a substantial part of my living We also had a business and where we used to sell tanning concentrates. It's kind of funny. We'd spend the whole summer separating them out from all the sand and gravel in the summer, and then we'd recombine them in the winter and sell them on the internet. Unfortunately, California's taxation laws have driven us out of business, and we can't get the raw materials anymore. Now, it was not my sole means of income, but it was a substantial source of my income. Anymore, I live off of a little bit of a union pension, early retirement, and a small disability from the government from injuries I sustained back in, quote, the war days, even though I wasn't in the war. I do what I can, where I can, and manage to scrape by.
Well, I just hope that you'll spend as much time as you can really getting organized, and I hope maybe Kirk can help you join forces with the other people up there. Not necessarily the dredges, but all the other people we've talked about who are going to be devastated as they take those dams out. Kirk, what are your thoughts?
Exactly that. I mean, I'm in the middle of that, so I'm trying to, you know, everybody has, in order for us to succeed, everybody has to get beyond their own personal interests, because if everybody remains focused on just their problem, that's all they want to talk about, we're not going to win. But if people begin to realize that we're in a shared situation here, then what we can start to do is connect the people that are being shut down over here with the people losing rights over there, with the people over here where the uranium's being withdrawn, and the people over here where that's happening, you know. Not just dam removals, but all these things, you know, the ocean, the streams, the water, the lands, the properties across this nation. There are victims everywhere you look across this nation, but they're pretty much have been isolated. They're pretty much of an independent entrepreneur type of people. They tend to try and solve problems by themselves. And, you know, they can be picked on by big government pretty easily. I think that I'm in the middle of trying to locate and connect those people together, so that we do, in fact, have a unified response, and then hook them up with the people from their urban areas as well. Now, one thing to pick up on an earlier point you're making about this whole Agenda 21, people can go to Wikipedia and look at the listing called List of World Heritage Sites in the United States. These are heritage sites are things that United Nations claim some kind of authority over. Most Americans might be surprised that United Nations claim some level of authority over the Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall, the Everglades, the Grand Canyon, Yosemite, the Redwood National Forest, Olympic National Park, Yellowstone, and Glacier National Park, just to mention a few. It's time to wake up and start hooking up together.
I agree with you totally, and basically only by getting people organized that will I do what I do, hoping that people are going to be out there listening, and they will then dedicate themselves to helping us get the information out. As I said earlier, freedom is one ball of wax, and if one person loses their freedom, then of course it impacts on everyone else. But there is an organized, concerted effort to change the structure of our society, to centralize all power with Washington, D.C., but even worse, of course, to destroy the industrial basis of our country, to destroy the agricultural basis of our country, destroy the lumbering, the mining, the electronics, certainly the boat building, the automotive. They're all certainly being transferred overseas. This is not happening by accident. It is happening by intent. And until people understand that, until people can see the big picture and understand what I call the brotherhood of darkness, nothing makes sense. Well, we got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Jim, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners out across America? Huh?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States...
...telegraph, of course, they really do intend to eliminate most of the people in the world, as incredible as that sounds. The Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. Now, it's 1,142 pages, but we have a summary of it. It's in the Sustainable Development Syllabus, and of course, it comes... You can get this by itself or with a DVD... A Sustainable Development, The Road to World Government, and a four-tape set on the subject. Certainly we carry the book by stealth and deception, because that's what it is. Everything is done by stealth and deception. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn the truth. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. I should mention that, of course, my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope, of course, that you'll, if you're in a position to help us, to join the Radio Liberty family, whatever you can do, why, of course, you can reach us at that number, go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, our telephone number 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes and or newsletter every month. But more than that, if you're not in a position to help, and then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, for our protection, because believe me, Barbara and my family and my son and I are on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men. and the survival of Christian civilization, because certainly the attack on freedom is closely tied to the attack on Christianity, and that is, of course, why there's an organized effort to undermine Christianity. That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted to destroy the moral fabric of our nation, because if you can destroy the moral and religious foundation of a nation, you can destroy that nation. There is no history of a nation going into moral decline. Well, that nation, well, without a revival, has not come back. But America did come back in the 1730s. We were in a free fall morally. And then, of course, there was a great revival in America. Of course, laid at that point, with the resurgence of belief in God, the foundation for the American Revolution. And then, of course, in, by 1850, 55, why, of course, there was once again a great moral decline, and certainly Charles Finney and other ministers led the second great awakening as people turned back to God. And now, of course, what we need is a third great awakening. Will we see it? I don't know. That's not up to me. I'm simply to be a voice here, challenging people, hoping that they will see what's going on, but in the final analysis, the first Great Awakening did not succeed because of Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley and the others. It succeeded because God intervened. I really believe that. And the second Great Awakening did not come about because of Charles Finney and the other ministers. It came because God intervened once again. Are my prayers that God will intervene again, whether he does or not? Well, only time is going to tell. Our job is to do our best to get the information out, and in the final analysis, God will determine what's happened, because we really are involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, educational, financial battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So we ask, of course, you remember our number. It's 1-800.